This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Do they like NATO? Do they want to see NATO strong?
Well, again, I'm sure you have already spoken to people who are greater experts than I, but yeah, they don't like NATO. They think NATO encircles them and threatens them.
And would they have a preference for a candidate that expressed an openness to repealing the sanctions over Ukraine?
And I don't want to get into business of commenting on that. I know. Well,
then let me ask you this way, Director. Would they like to see the sanctions on Ukraine go away?
Yes.
Would they have a preference for a candidate who expressed open admiration for Putin?
And I hope you'll reformulate the question. Mr. Putin would like people who like him.
Would they have a preference for a candidate who encouraged Brexit and other departures from Europe? Would they like to see more Brexits?
Yes.
And have the Russians in Europe demonstrated a preference for business people as political leaders with the hope that they can entangle them in financial interests or that they may allow their financial interests to take precedence over the interests of the countries in Europe they represent?
In our joint report, we recount that the Russians, that President Putin has expressed a preference for business leaders in leading other governments and mentions Gerhard Schroeder and I'm going to forget one. Berlusconi, because he believes they're people that are more open to negotiation, easier to deal with.
Now, here we are. Adam Schiff, I guess, you know, when you are a U.S. representative from California, you now become a psychologist. And you ask, what was this line of question all about here? What was he trying to do here, Scott?
He was trying to tie the Russians to Trump through what they like,
does he like peanut butter and jelly? Well, Trump likes peanut butter and jelly. Well, they like peanut butter and jelly. Well, you know, hey, we got a conspiracy going on here. You know, birds of a feather flocking together. Are you kidding me?
Well, even the last question, you know, do they like to deal with business people? Because so that way they can entwine them in financial things. And Comey doesn't have him change that question, but he just says, well, they've said that they like to work with them because they're more apt to negotiate than to just take a hard line.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing. I mean, this is why America, for example, has such a low opinion of politicians. Because, you know, it's like, look at the personalities. I mean, do you want to deal with somebody who obstructs everything, or would you much rather deal with somebody who has a sense of pursuing a dream and wanting to accomplish something and contribute something in a positive way? I know that sounds really broad-brushed and critical, but, you know, it's kind of goofy.
I don't think that line of questioning would be allowed in a courtroom trying a case. It's leading the witness.
Well, and even Comey, Comey at first didn't even want to go there. He didn't want to answer. Why didn't he just stay there and just not even answer it? I mean, here's the guy. He's accomplished attorney. He's a sharp guy. But in order to placate, you know, these congressmen, and it's like, this is the problem I have with James Comey, is that you go,
I believe.
Be consistent, right? I mean, is he inconsistent, or is it just me? Am I misreading this guy?
I believe that right after this was when Gowdy was the next one up after this, mm-hmm. And I think this Gowdy was referring to him when you talk about the facts in a vacuum,
right? Exactly,
he was referring to this line of questioning, I believe.
And we paid this guy a lot of money to come up with these questions like this to try to psychoanalyze, Putin. So somehow you can tie it in with Trump and invalidate Trump and, you know, on some sort of far... I mean, this is an absolute witch hunt.
Imagine that. Putin likes people that likes Putin.
Well, nobody does that. Yeah. I mean, Scott, I mean, I know you. You just like people that hate you because that's just the way you
roll. Hang out with them all the time.
Exactly. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Time for the one and only Horace Cooper. Yes, nationally recognized legal commentator and adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. Maybe he can help us make some sense out of this stuff. Horace, we need you here. I mean, after yesterday and the silliness that was going on with this this hearing with FBI director and NSA director Comey Rogers, respectively, and then, you know, also I want to get your read on the Gorsuch hearing. Of course, day one, and we've got several more days to look forward to that one, right?
Well, absolutely. I'm sure that the Gorsuch hearing is going to run at least through Friday, and we're actually going to see the kind of work on the Senate side that you normally don't, starting at 9:30 and going to 8:30 with only a lunch break. I mean, that means no time for Matlock. That means no time for Metamucil. They could actually be working.
Well, what a concept, huh? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But hopefully, they can come up with a better line of questioning. I mean, all this posturing yesterday. I mean, please, you know, Merrick Garland. Okay, the Republicans chose not to address this. There's precedent for it. The Democrats would want to lead everybody to believe that that doesn't exist. For them, a whole new set of rules, and we etch-a-sketch history at their convenience, and, you know, and they cry foul, and we want to keep hearing over and over again. What does that do in terms of filling the space and time and conversation with something productive, you know, for this cause? But for them, I guess being productive is just obstructing.
So to the casual observer, what a lot of people see is what they're calling tit-for-tat. But the truth of the matter is that there has been a fairly significant change in behavior with regard to how nominees for the Supreme Court are treated. And that started with Robert Bork. We had seen some hints of this concern prior to that. Now, a lot of people don't realize that two justices submitted by President Nixon were actually rejected on a bipartisan basis, some of which was done as a part of what I would say is a precursor of the smear campaign to come. Mm-hmm. But we saw even as late as Justice Alito, former President Obama, then Senator Obama, actively working to filibuster Judge Alito. And not because of some lack of qualification, not because of some lack of skill, but precisely because of their philosophy. And the left has been trying to do this for a while, and we are finally reaching a point where the answer is, if a a liberal or Democrat president nominates someone, he must have a majority of his party in Congress in order to get that person confirmed and vice versa. That's not been our tradition. That's not been our history. But that is where we are. And it's very likely that we're going to see the destruction of the filibuster for Supreme Court justices because of where we're headed now.
Well, and you can thank Harry Reid for that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Again, the collegiality that used to exist has been steadily and steadily and steadily diminishing such that it creates this idea that what you did, we need to respond to. Mm-hmm. There used to be an idea that the court was going to be separate. Now, it has been a long time idea, not quite 100 years, that after the president reaches his seventh year and the campaign starts, that we encourage justices not to step down, but if they choose to, that we hold off on making confirmations until after the election. That's nearly a 100-year precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what we see when Justice Scalia's untimely passing occurs, Democrats say, let's throw that out, that precedent, that understanding, and we're going to call any refusal to just let any person step in the middle of the presidential campaign. We're going to call that the obstruction. We're going to call that the unfairness. And it is making this process a lot more difficult, a lot more intractable than it needs to be, and it is very pricey in terms of the cost that private groups are undertaking on both sides, almost to an unprecedented level.
Exactly. I mean, how much money, Horace, you and I talked about this, the amount of money that's involved in getting getting the justice, on the other side of the situation. I mean, for him to be, you know, he's nominated for him to be confirmed, for Gorsuch to be confirmed. How much money is it going to cost to do this?
I'm looking at this, and we are likely to see something north of $50 million, and it could be as much as $150 million on both sides fighting over this. When Robert Bork was named, over $500,000 was spent as part of the effort to smear him.
Mm-hmm.
That effort would be something that would rival a House campaign. By the time of the Clarence Thomas hearing, you started to see that number rise to a multiple $1 million, $4 million, $5 million, maybe as much as $10 million. We keep going farther. That number with Clarence Thomas would be what it would cost to get elected to a fairly significant Senate race.
Mm.
We're now getting to a number that starts to rival what it costs to campaign in the general election for president. This says that both sides understand that the real power of what is done in Washington is far more likely, not just in Washington, but in your state capitals, in your city halls, is far more likely to be associated with five members of the Supreme Court than our own positions, our own votes, and our own right of self-determination. We're heading this way because the left decided in the late 1960s they were tired of trying to persuade the American people, and they rushed to the court system to force it and to persuade it to impose outcomes that they were unable to get in the political arena.
And along the way, we're just going to vacate millions of votes, and on one hand, the very same party is saying every vote counts. How dare you do anything to compromise that? And millions of votes routinely are vacated by activist federalist judges as well as the Supreme Court, which, why are we surprised? But how do we get this genie back in the bottle and return to some sort of semblance of civility, Horace? I mean, is that even possible?
Well, I would say that we absolutely need judges that engage in the kind of humility and the judicial modesty that they explain. We are not here to take your self-governing authority from you. We're here to just enforce the contours of the existing contract, the United States Constitution.
Exactly. We'll pick it up from there. Horace Cooper is with us. More from Horace right after this.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym, my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Hey, we're coming at you fresh every day for 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and this incredible network of ours, independent as it is, over 280 affiliates across this country and around the world via shortwave. Welcome back. 19 after the top of the hour, Horace Cooper is with us, nationally recognized legal commentator and adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. Horace, to kind of wrap a bow and summarize the situation with Judge Gorsuch yesterday, you know, this is just the start. There's going to be, at least probably four more wearing days that we're going to have to go through this process and, you know, hear the posturing of these senators as they, you know, take on the responsibility of confirming this jurist, which most people are saying should be a slam dunk. But there's going to be some hell to be paid here, because the Democrats are going to want their pound of flesh, no doubt.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. The left wants the court to intervene and overturn elections. And it doesn't really matter what the issue is, if the issue is health care, if the issue is welfare, if the issue is job creation. It doesn't matter what the issue is, rather than persuade your listeners, rather than persuade voters, they want the court to intervene. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you can't easily get rid of judges the way that you can when you have leftists going wild. 2010 right. and 2014, the American people rejected. They were unpersuaded by those mm-hmm. who advocated the takeover of America's healthcare system. The left says, oh, gosh, we don't want that to happen anymore. Let's get the court to do this work for us.
Why would a branch of government subordinate its power and relinquish their authority and responsibility just for the sake of their, you know, expedient mindset? I mean, don't they see what they're doing in terms of their own value? I mean, they're elevating politically the value of the Supreme Court, and something has to give in terms of the balance of power. So you're going to take away from the legislative branch, and you're going to put it on the judicial branch. Does that make sense?
The unelected branches being handed this power is really no different than what happens in countries that don't have a functioning democracy. The people don't get to decide. Our whole system is predicated on this idea that we, the people, make the rules. We ratified the Constitution that set up the contours of what our liberties are going to be, and we continue and contain that ability. The left says no. The left says our commitment to the socialist big government takeover of American lives is so important, if it means that we have to do it over your objections, we're going to do it for you, and we're going to keep pushing it that way. They don't admit it, but that's actually what's going on.
Well, constitutionally minded citizens need to understand what is happening here, Horace Cooper, because our Constitution is being compromised.
There
is going to be an
pushed to the side. And what happens is the kinds of things that the American people ought to be able to decide are taken from them. If you like higher taxes, then you go out and you persuade your neighbor to have higher taxes. And if you don't, then you go out and persuade your neighbor to have lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the model that our founders contemplated. If judges who are unelected make these decisions for us, then we're really no different than Venezuela. Mm-hmm. We're really no different than Cuba. And what the left says is, oh, it's only the important issues. It's only the critical issues. The problem with that is, who gets to decide? You can take an issue as controversial as gay marriage, and you can look and see that statewide election after statewide election after statewide election, the people, when they were given a chance to hear these issues, decided one way. California, one of the most blue states in the nation, rejected the idea.
Right. 8 million votes, Horace. 8 million votes vacated by one activist judge. Oh yes, that's right. He was a gay judge. So he was a practicing homosexual. So now he has the power. So what does he do?
Yeah, but this rejects the idea that the American people get to decide. Mm-hmm. If something is so important, if something is so critical, that's the very reason it should be left in the hands of the American people.
And what did Californians do? They just sat there and went. They shrugged. Like Atlas, you know, they just shrugged and let it go by. It's like, wait a minute, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you invalidated yourself. You took yourself out of the fray. You didn't have the courage to stand up for your very own rights. And now you're just going along and, you know, you might as well break off into six states if that's what your idea is. Maybe there might be some reasonableness and some responsibility here. But subordinating your responsibility, turning over to one activist judge, let him vacate 8 million votes, and you know, you go, oh, I guess it's okay.
This is an object lesson for every state in the union. It's an opportunity for the American people. It doesn't matter what your issue is. It doesn't matter what your policy preference might be. It's our founders' principle that you, the people, are supposed to address them, not the unelected judges, to dictate to you what the answer should be.
Amazing. Well, let's talk about FBI Director James Comey and NSA Director Mike Rogers and the hearing yesterday. More posturing. I mean, some of the questions, Horace, I it was like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction. It kept screeching at me yesterday.
The left has been on a destruction meltdown for some time, going after every single institution of ours. And now it's pretty clear that that's the case with our national security enterprise. It is a critical core component of government function, our national security activities. And in fact, more so than Meals on Wheels or literacy programs or any of these other things that the left says are critical that we need to continue, our national security enterprise. And part of the effort to malign the Trump campaign and part of the effort to undermine the legitimacy of our most recent election has been to take our national security elements and expose them in a way that is not helpful. No. It is the case that Russia, that China, and if North Korea can get their internet working well enough, are watching attentively at every single exposure of information that these hearings are eliciting.
You know,
and
the sole purpose
is to undermine the president.
I am so glad you're bringing this out, Horace, because this is the big story that's missing here. I mean, we're looking at, you know, the leaks and chasing all these shiny objects all over the place, but the destruction to democracy that Democrats are all complicit in, for what? To delegitimize Donald Trump, because their gal did not get elected. And, you know, and even though most of them will admit the reason she didn't get elected was obvious, you know, they...
the American people actually had a little bit of a say about this process.
Imagine that.
As our Constitution outlined. Mm-hmm. But what we risk now is just as we did when a congressman spouted out during the Bush administration that we had been tracking Bin Laden's satellite phone, and it was going to help us to track him down. That satellite phone was never used again. We cannot, in this quest to delegitimize the president, expose sensitive aspects about our national security enterprise. And so that's been, I think, one of the most troubling parts about this whole process.
And nobody's saying anything about this, Horace. It's just, let's just exercise everything that we think we're doing and being so irresponsible. This is part of the downside of our First Amendment right. Yes, you have the right to free speech. But when you start exposing, you know, some of our national secrets the way they're doing, all in the name of whatever their form of justice, I guess, to, as you say, delegitimize this current president, at what cost? At what cost are they willing to spend of the people's money, of our own national security? It's like they have no end. There's no reason to it, Horace.
It's a very dangerous world. We need all the resources we can bring to bear
exactly
to protect the American people.
Horace Cooper, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Horace.
This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Sodexo's annual Workplace Trends Report has been a reliable source for spotting crucial changes in the business world for more than 5 years. In 2017, the findings reveal a game-changing focus on individuality, connectivity, and adaptability in the workplace. Based on original research and interviews with more than 50 subject matter experts, the report features 10 important trends for business leaders to account for. Highlights include an increased appreciation of the new millennial generation of workers and how factors like workplace conditions and techno-literacy are key to helping businesses thrive in this new generation. Mark Bickford, CEO of Sodexo Corporate Services.
The political and economic landscape of our country is going through a period of significant change and uncertainty this year, leaving a challenge for businesses to stay on top of trends in their workforce. Sodexo's 2017 Global Workplace Trends Report will help businesses navigate 10 of the most pressing issues impacting the workplace and the workforce in the months to come.
For more findings and trends, visit SodexoInsights.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy. They mean something. Bill Martinez, live.
Here. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You got a question, a comment you want to make, we'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. As you're probably already telling, at least your nose is telling you, maybe your eyes as well, allergy season is now. High pollen counts are being reported across the U.S. as mild winter weather kickstarts the allergy season, which started early this season, they tell me. Hitting allergy sufferers with symptoms across much of the country as a relatively mild and wet winter gave way to unseasonally high temperatures across much of the U.S. Multiple areas reported high pollen counts weeks earlier than normal. And here to fill us in on all the details and tell us what is going on, that it's just not us, it's not just, a personal sort of thing, but it is kind of a personal sort of thing. But at least he gives you the whys and why nots. Registered pharmacist, news correspondent Jim Morelli is with us. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Hey, good to have you with us. You've got some easy tips on how to combat and relieve this allergy season. So we want to hear, you know, I understand we're going to talk about best ways to assist with allergy relief and irritation, the best ways to keep our homes allergen-free, the must-haves to fight off germs and infections. You got some homeopathic remedies as well. And so, hey, let's get into this, okay? So we've got an early season, allergy season. So for allergy sufferers, that's not necessarily good news, is it?
No, we're talking about the allergy season hitting some areas 10 to 20 days ahead of time. And, you know, about 60 million Americans suffer from allergic rhinitis. We commonly call that hay fever. Mm-hmm. So you definitely have a large group of people out there who are going to be suffering. And what happens with an allergy? Well, first of all, we have allergens or triggers, pollen, ragweed, pet dander, dust mites, molds. Chemical reactions take place in the body that cause an inflammation when the body has these triggers, it confronts these triggers, and that's what gives you the host of allergy symptoms you see. And, you know, people feel miserable if these symptoms are left untreated. So I say this, use treatment options that are easily available, that is, they're over-the-counter, but you want to get them full prescription strength. And fortunately, we do have those kinds of options these days. For one thing, Nasacort allergy, 24-hour. This is a spray that will actually relieve nasal allergy symptoms, including sneezing, itchy, runny nose, and that toughest one of all, we're talking congestion. And it does this by blocking the body's chemical response to allergens, and that reduces inflammation in the nasal passages. And there really is nothing out there over the counter that's going to get you closer to zero nasal allergy symptoms. And there is one for children as well. For kids 2 years and older, there's a children's Nasacort 24 hours. So that's a good option to keep on hand.
Mm-hmm. So we have a better idea as to what to do with ourselves. Of course, we want to take a look at our environment. So we start doing some spring cleaning. And how's the best way for us to keep our homes allergen-free?
You want to make sure that you're washing. That's really key. Clean your house, vacuum, dust surfaces. Those are all places where you can find allergens collecting. Wash your sheets, pillowcases, blankets. And, you know, even though the weather's getting warmer, it is a good idea for allergy sufferers to keep the windows closed. Don't forget the pollen can come in through the screens even. Check your air filters. This is definitely the time of year. Make sure that they're ready to take on pollen season. Make sure they're clean from the wintertime. And if you're somebody who wants to exercise outside, take a look at the pollen count. Check when they're high in your area. And when you do go out and exercise, or any time you go outside, frankly, make sure that when you come back in, you're changing your clothes and taking a shower and washing your hair. Remember, an awful lot of what we encounter in allergy season is what we bring indoors. And that, by the way, has to do with your pets, too. You want to make sure you're brushing down your pets.
Yeah, exactly. What are the must-haves, Jim, are you recommending, you know, for us to fight off germs and infections? You just gave, you know, a little bit of an idea here, but you say there's must-haves that you have to have.
Well, I think you have to have on hand in allergy season, it's really a must, is an antihistamine. Antihistamines are available over-the-counter, and I like antihistamines that are not going to cause you drowsiness and that they work fast and they're going to keep you having relief for a long time. Allegra allergy is a good example of that. That will give you fast relief. In an hour, it'll start working, and it'll keep working for 24 hours. And that's really the fastest one you can buy. And it's good because you can use it in adults and children 12 years of age and older. So what do antihistamines do? They basically take care of the symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, and itchy nose or throat. Something else you also want to have on hand, and this is a non-drug over-the-counter remedy, is eye drops that have just saline in them. Those can help your eyes feel better, and they also have a saline nasal spray. That also can work well, too, if you get dryness during the day in your nose. So there's many things you can do to avoid feeling the symptoms of allergies, and a lot of them are simple lifestyle changes around your house.
Exactly. Well, Jim, my daughter deals with this, and so she's particularly, appreciative of homeopathic remedies, and I know you have some up your sleeve. What have you got to share with us?
Well, actually, there you've got me. I really do not have any homeopathic remedies. I mean,
they got both of us because they told me, ask them about homeopathic remedies. I guess maybe they're just playing with us here right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Homeopathic remedies, by the way, are small amounts of certain substances that the theory is that when you challenge these in the body reacts in a positive way to those. I don't know of any specific ones for allergies, however.
Mm-hmm. We talked about pets, and so combating pet dander for allergy sufferers, a huge deal here.
Yeah, it really is. This is why some people simply cannot have pets, because the pet dander bothers them so much. You know, there are dogs and cats out there that have fur that may be more or less likely to shed, more or less likely to cause you to be allergic, but there is no animal out there that does not come with its share of pet dander and therefore a potential problem with allergies. But keep in mind, some of us, I have a golden retriever. That dog sheds 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know, it's awful. They're like dust bowls in my house. And I think we've all gotten used to it. We're not sneezing. At first we did. But our bodies seem to have been challenged by this, and we seem to have gotten used to it. So that's also a possibility. But you know there are people out there who have severe allergy symptoms. We're talking about wheezing, having trouble breathing from simply being around dogs or cats.
Exactly. Well, Jim, there's some great stuff here. Gosh, I really appreciate you stopping by to, you know, tell the folks what they can do to prepare for the season. I'm sure they're already dealing with it as well. And, you know, the first sign of sniffles and our eyes reddening up and everything is a good indication that we need to remember all these great tips that you shared with us.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a season. And, of course, it doesn't really end in spring. Once we get to summer, then we've got grass issues to deal with. So every season pretty much has its allergens that we have to deal with.
Now, are there any other ways that we can relieve our allergy symptoms?
I think the best way is to think about, again, around your house, making sure things are clean. That's really crucial. And again, the surfaces in your, I know when I lived in Atlanta, in our house we would have yellow pollen everywhere at the start of April, and it would last that way until June. And that is just such a, we're talking there about an actual physical irritant there as well as a chemical one. And you just keeping things clean is really, really key. That's the first step.
Well, you know, and I like your practical idea about when you go out, because, you know, we do go out and you come back and you know, I don't know why, it's like one of those deals, those V8 moments, you know, I should have had a V8, you know, to be reminded that, it's a good time to change your clothes, take a shower, you know, clean off that pollen, because you bring it in with you and there you are, you know, after you've done all your spring cleaning, you've dealt with the pet dander and everything, and then it's like, okay, now you're contributing to your own issues here by forgetting, oh yeah, that's right, I was just outside and I'm bringing it back into the house. Jim, where can everybody go for more information?
Well, you can go to Allegra.com, Nasacort.com. Both those websites will tell you about allergies and about how those products work, but also there are coupons there that you can download and use.
Well, we like that. He's registered pharmacist, news correspondent Jim Morelli has been with us. Jim, great ideas. Thank you for stopping by and sharing.
My pleasure. Take care.
You got it.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number
number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's Improve Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, thank you for tuning in, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, how about you get involved in the conversation? Why not? Let us know your thoughts at B. Martinez Live. That's the Twitter handle. You can get directly in touch with me or drop me an email if you want to wax poetic, by all means, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com, because your opinion counts. You know, and we look at with some of this stuff that we're dealing with, you know, as we were talking with Horace Cooper, we have to surround the issue sometimes with opinion until the facts come out. But lest we forget, it's still about the facts, Jack, as they say, if you're going to make a decision. And, you know, Trey Gowdy, I loved his explanation as to what's going on and what happens in D.C. and, dare I say, around this country, because the infection of the D.C. Beltway, where opinion rules there, you know, forget about the facts. Let's just create our own opinions so that we can promote our own personal agendas. You know, that's the order of the day. But it's very dangerous because now we're trying to argue our way into the other's, argue the other person into our perspective. And, you know, this is why the challenge is, can we reason together? Can we respect one another enough to know that, you know, in our own, you know, outside of our own arrogance, that no one person has all the goods, as they say. We have parts and pieces. This is the way we've been designed. And when we work together, hence you get the United States of America. It's absolutely brilliant at times. Well, with all this stuff that's been happening in our world of politics, you know, Trump and Russian spies and all this other stuff that's going on and the leaks that are happening, our next story you're going to find quite interesting, because I didn't think about Ernest Hemingway in this regard. And our next guest, Nicholas Reynolds, has explored, you know, the penchant that one Ernest Hemingway had about spying and about secrets, you know, during World War II especially. And he explores this in his deeply researched and fascinating new book, Writer, Sailor, Soldier, Spy, Ernest Hemingway's Secret Adventures. Ernest, Nicholas Reynolds is with us right now. Nicholas, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm well.
Well, let me tell you right up front, thank you for all the hard work, the research that you put into this book. How did you come about this, you know, this thread, I guess, that you started pulling and realizing that Hemingway really had, you know, a side of himself that most people are not readily aware of?
It came about more or less by accident. I started out as a traditional Hemingway fan, mm-hmm. With kind of a traditional view of him focused on his writing. And I knew a little tiny bit about his adventures in World War II, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was researching something else for the CIA Museum. It was American intelligence in World War II. And I thought, well, didn't Ernest have something to do with this? And so I kept pulling on that thread, mm-hmm. and eventually found out that Ernest's activities in World War II were considerable. He was spending most of his time on secret adventures of one sort or another, mm-hmm. in World War II. And then I came across the fact that he'd had a relationship with the Soviets, a formal relationship that dated to the end of 1940. Mm-hmm. So I just had to pull that thread. I couldn't let that go. I needed to find out what, you know, I'd never heard of this before.
Right.
What does it mean? And so I went all over the country looking for tidbits. I went to the National Archives here in the D.C. area. I went to Boston. I went to Princeton. I went to San Diego. I went to Seattle. And there was a lot of good stuff online as well. Mm-hmm. And came up with a different picture, another way of looking at Hemingway. Let me put it that way.
Without a doubt. I mean, and you bring in the idea of his interest in Russia. I mean, for full disclosure, by the way, I don't have a whole lot of interest. I'm fascinated by Russia, but and I'm not claiming that Putin is my best friend. I don't think you are either. But nowadays, it's almost like, you know, you need almost a McCarthy disclosure on Putin and the Russians these days, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, and I hardly started working on this 6 years ago going, oh, yeah, the Russian story is going to be big in 2016 or 2017.
Well, it had already been poo-pooed. I mean, what was it when Mitt Romney brought it up? Barack Obama said, hey, look at your 80s foreign policy is called. They want their foreign policy back, right?
I forgot that. But, yeah, well, what we see in Ernest here is somewhat of a true believer in anti-fascism. Mm-hmm. And so he is oftentimes only taking in those facts that fit with his worldview. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, some of the arguments that you hear now, it's like, well, what about these facts? How do they fit into that? And those facts get dismissed. You know, he overlooks or is willing to give the benefit of the doubt. I think that's maybe the best way to put it. He's willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the Soviets, saying, "Hey, you know, they were great anti-fascists, and you know, we'll give them a buy on this other stuff." And I've got to take a deep breath when I see Ernest doing that.
Yeah. Well, he is a fascinating person, no doubt. I would have loved to have spent some time with him, as you would have, up in Lake Tahoe. He seemed to have, you know, some quiet time up there. That could have been a fun time for some really provocative and profound conversation, don't you think?
It could. He was, you know, the best way to approach him would be if you were somebody who was like 10 or 20 years younger, and you were sort of learning at the foot of the master.
Exactly, right. That was my thought.
He might have said, hey, you know, we tried this in those years and we tried that, and that was my approach. That he's got a couple or three relationships like that that are very interesting to read about. Yes, I would absolutely have liked to have tried that with him. I wouldn't have liked to have tried it and said, "Hey, I'm roughly your equal, and I want to engage you on these issues." I don't think he would have let down his guard.
Yeah, I don't think his ego could handle that, right?
He was a very I'd say he was a very competitive guy.
Right. Well, and so here are his fascination with all things that are Soviet, and you say it started with the Spanish Civil War.
Spanish Civil War is the defining moment in Hemingway's political awakening. It starts the way I structure my book, it starts a little bit before that, but his political thought and his agenda takes shape during the Spanish Civil War, and it's anti-fascism. He's strongly influenced by the agents of the Comintern that he meets in Spain. One of them's been called Ernest Commissar by a prominent scholar. And he also meets Soviet spies. The Comintern is sort of the propaganda arm of the Soviet Union and the communist parties worldwide. And then there's the Soviet spies and the NKVD, the predecessor of the KGB. He's fascinated by all this, and he's fascinated by the aura, the information they share, the paramilitary activities, which winds up in driving the plot of For Whom the Bell Tolls. These are secret communist soldiers that he's hanging out with, and that's the basis of the story in For Whom the Bell Tolls.
He was really fascinated with all this, right? I mean, this kind of, you talk about a deep state here in this country right now that's being tossed out there. He really liked, having the secret handshake and the decoder ring, didn't he?
He did. He liked having the entree. He liked being able to go behind the scenes. And he also liked dealing with powerful people. So he went to the White House in 1937. He was not an enormous Roosevelt fan, but he did like being invited to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. He was benefiting, by the way, from the relationship that his third wife, Martha Gellhorn, had with Eleanor Roosevelt. But when he goes to China, he meets Chiang Kai-shek. He meets Chiang Kai-shek. Back in Washington, he talks to the Secretary of the Treasury, Morgenthau, was a powerful guy in the Roosevelt administration. He goes down the street to the Office of Naval Intelligence. He tells them what he saw and heard and thought about his trip to China in 1941. So, yeah, this is a guy who enjoys all that.
He's kind of like a Renaissance Forrest Gump almost, huh? A little bit.
Renaissance Forrest Gump.
When you think about it, I mean, to be able to get into all these areas and things like that. I mean, amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing he's there. Most of us would only dream of spending, first of all, most of us don't have the energy that Ernest had at his best. And we don't have the ego and the charisma that gets him into all of these places too. I mean, here's a guy who's trading. He's trading on. He starts out writing literary novels, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sun Also Rises, Farewell to Arms. These are not particularly political novels,
mm-hmm.
and so the great novelist somehow evolves into this guy who's also a political activist. He's still a great writer and a great novelist, but he's a political activist. It's an amazing extra part to, another layer to Ernest's story.
Could you imagine what he'd be doing in the 21st century America today with all this information and the doors that he could get behind? Writer, sailor, soldier, spy, Ernest Hemingway's Secret Adventures.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Nicholas Reynolds.
There, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, this is Ted.